singing. I told Darson when she got up there, I said, you sing loud now. So that's what she tells her kids all the time, is sing out. So she told me when I started getting up here, and says, you preach loud. I said, how about long? No, just loud. Okay. Turn in Revelation now, chapter 21, chapter 22. I'd like to finish this tonight on the concerning the bride of Christ. Of all the teachings, I guess there's an awful lot of misunderstanding about a lot of things, but there's very few people that know anything at all about what a church is. You look at your television programs and they believe in one big, universal, huge church. They are part of it. We're trying to edify the church. We're trying to build up the church of our Lord and all this. They don't even know what a church is. You say, well, you think you're smart. No, I don't. I know that the word church comes from the word ecclesia, which means assembly or congregation. And if it doesn't assemble, it's not a church. It's not an assembly. And yet the devil has so confused this thing to people today that they think that everybody that's saved is in one big universal church. And that's just not true. I've said many times from this pulpit, if they are saved, and there are no doubt many that are saved and born again that are not members of his kind of church, they are in the family of God. They'll be in heaven just as much as I will be as far as being there. They're in the kingdom of God. If Christ has come into their hearts and to begin to rule and reign in their hearts, they're in the kingdom of God, and they'll be in the presence of God one day. In the rapture, they'll go up. But people today do not understand what his kind of a church is and what it's here for, how it's supposed to work during this dispensation of the Lord's New Testament church. Now, there are churches, plural, and yet one day they won't be a bunch of brides. The Lord's New Testament, his bride will come out of his kind of churches, those that I believe are faithful and have not defiled their garments, kept themselves pure for the Lord. They'll be in the bride of Christ. Now, some people believe that the Old Testament saints are all going to be in the bride. Some people believe that every member of a Baptist church is going to be in the bride. But I think the Bible is very clear on who the bride is. In Revelation 21, now we'll read these two verses again. I hope you'll study them sincerely and prayerfully, because I believe the Lord is teaching us who the bride is here. In chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, he saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. I don't see how you can get any more language any clearer than this. This New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, isn't that, I don't think he can get anything out of that, what it says. In other words, God has prepared this holy city as he is preparing the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Now, in verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Meaning, I'm going to show you the Lamb's bride as she was being prepared, and I'm going to show you when she is complete and married to the Lamb, she is now his wife. So as we look at the New Jerusalem, she is the New Jerusalem, the city is certainly not the bride. But the New Jerusalem was prepared as the bride is being prepared, because our Lord has not only preparing the bride, but he's also preparing the city for the bride. And as we study the city and how the city was built, you will also find out how the bride is being built. And you'll find out that this is a holy city. And I tell you that Jesus Christ is not going to have a bride that does not keep herself holy in this life. The Bible says that He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious bride, holy and without blemish. Did you know tonight that my preaching and the teaching of this church, all the things that we do, ought to be striving to make this church a more holy church? Now, people don't understand that. This church ought to be becoming more holy all the time. That's what the Holy Spirit does in sanctification, is to set His people apart so that they might be holy. The word holy and sanctified, same root word. Hallowed, holy, sanctified, set apart. That's what God wants His people to be, holy, set apart, hallowed unto the Lord. We should be preparing ourselves in this church to meet the Lord, and we should be holy. That's why it's called the Holy City. We're not getting into all that again. We've taught it's on tape. Now, I want you to notice down here, we said that in verse 21, we began to go look at the inside of this city, where you begin to look at the streets. We have been studying the outside, where the foundations, the walls, and the doors, and all this. Now, we're beginning to move on to the inside. We showed you that there was no temple therein, because the Lord God Almighty is the temple of it. That's what all the temple and the tabernacle represented anyway, was the Lord and His presence among His people. Now, He is with His people. Now, look in verse 23, and we'll get some of this. We went very hurriedly when we got this before. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Do you realize today that the Lord's kind of church, though we have the sun and the moon to walk, to give us light so we can walk physically in this world so we won't stumble, but God's children that are members of this church ought to have a light that this world knows nothing about. In other words, we cannot walk as by the light of the sun and the moon and please God. We have to have a different kind of light. And Jesus Christ is the true light. Isn't that what John chapter 1 says? He is the true light. I believe with all my heart. And this is a mystery back in Genesis chapter 1 when He said, let there be light, and there was light. Meaning there was light that came into existence there, was shed upon His creation that did not come from the sun and the moon and the stars. I believe it had to do with the true light. This world has the light, and people are without excuse, of Jesus Christ upon this world and creation and all that. So, this church tonight, now we need sun, moon to walk and to work and to do the things of the we need to do physically, but this church today is not dependent upon the sun and the moon, just like the New Jerusalem is not depending on the sun and the moon. We have our light in the Lord. God has commanded the light to shine out of darkness and shine in our hearts. Therefore, we have a light. What kind of light do we have? Well, the glory of God. That's what Ephesians 2 Corinthians 5 says. The light shined out of darkness and gave us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the glory of God did lighten this city, and the glory of God is the what lights this New Testament church. And the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, in this new city, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, is the light of this new city. And in this assembly tonight, which is His bride, if it's going to be in His bride, the Lamb needs to be the light of it. He is the one that reveals to us how we should walk. My sheep hear, and they follow me. If we walk in the world and the light of the world and the things that the world has, you'll never be in the bride. We need to walk in the light. That's what John chapter 8 says. If you walk and follow Him, you'll have the light of life. Well, verse 24, just several things we mentioned, we'll get them again. And the nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it. There are going to be some people in the new earth, a new heaven and a new earth, going to be the people on this earth that's going to live. They're all going to be saved. That's going to be glorious on the new earth that God will create in Revelation chapter 21 in the beginning, a new heaven, new earth. Every person on this new earth is going to be saved. They're not all going to be in the bride. They're not only going to be the bride, but the ones that are saved shall walk in the light of it. Meaning that the Lord and His throne in the New Jerusalem, His bride is with Him, and He is the light of the New Jerusalem. The light from Him will radiate out through that New Jerusalem onto this earth, and all the peoples that are saved will walk in the light of that, the Lamb who is the light of the whole world. Be no sun, no moon. The glory of God will lighten this whole new earth that God is going to create. The sun and the moon, stars are only just figures and types today, and we need to see that. I could preach for an hour right on that one subject right there in the book of Psalms and all. But nevertheless, the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into or unto it. This tells us that on this earth there are going to be some people that are going to reign. They're not going to have the privilege of being bride, the bride of Christ, but they shall reign, and they will have some glory, the Bible says, and they shall bring their glory and honor into or unto it. So we see that the new earth then is going to be much like this one, except it's going to be a glorious earth. There'll be no sin. Everybody will be saved. We'll not have our sinful nature anymore. We'll have Jesus Christ as not only as our Lord and Master and King reigning, and we'll live our lives perfectly for the Lord. There'll be no sin. Former things will never be remembered. That's where you're headed tonight if you're truly saved. And there'll never be an end to that. That's wonderful, isn't it? Verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut all the day. Now, comparing that to the Lord's church, you know, when the Lord says Christ is the door, we should always be a witness for the Lord. Our gates should never be shut. By what I mean by that is that the Lord's New Testament church today should be the light of the world all the time. Our gates should never be shut. Christ is the door. Therefore, the door is open. We ought to keep it open. And by that I mean we ought to be preaching Jesus Christ to the world. The doors ought to be open at all times for people to enter in the Lord's church. But here, the literal Jerusalem, the doors will never be shut, and there shall be no night there. Now you say, well, how does that apply to the church? Do you realize God says we are not of the night, we are of the day? Those of us that have been saved, there is no night. You say, well, there's night outside. I'm not talking about that kind of night. I'm talking about darkness. Those that have come to know Jesus Christ and walk in the true light, there is no darkness at all to those that trust Jesus Christ. You're walking in the light. You're children of the day. You've been born from above. So, as the Scripture says here, there'll be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it or into it. So I'm trying to show you tonight what the Bible says, that the future earth that we're going to live on, my friend, is going to be glorious. This earth that we're in right now is under a curse, and that curse will be lifted during the thousand-year reign. And then after the thousand-year reign, it's going to pass away. Some people say, well, it's going to be reworked and renovated and all this business. That's not what God says. God says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and there was no place found for the others. If there's no place found for it, that means it goes back to where it came from nothing. It came from nothing, going back to nothing. It's going to be a new one. God's not going to renovate it. Now, He will. This old earth, for the thousand-year reign, is going to be lifted from its curse. But the Bible says the heavens and earth fled away. It's going to be annihilated completely. And then in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth or whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now, who is it that will enter into this city? Well, the Bible says anything that defiles is not going to enter into it. Did you know tonight that the Bible teaches us, and I've taught this church for 25 years, that this church should not have within its membership those people that are living ungodly in this world. It's a figure of the bride of Christ. If this church is going to be in the bride of Christ, my friend, those things that defile or work the abomination or make of the lie should not be a part of it. They won't be a part of the New Jerusalem. Doesn't the Bible teach us in Ephesians 5:3, don't let it even be named among you? Is that what it says? This is how far short we come in what God would have us to be. Our thoughts upon God is that He just tolerates anything. My friend, God doesn't tolerate that kind of stuff. The Bible says in the first church there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied unto God. They just lied unto God, and God said they both got killed that day. God took their lives for lying. or whatever makes a lie. And yet the church is so deteriorated today through the teachings and God's Word that everything and anything is allowed to be a member of it. I'll tell you, you can't even do that on the University of Kentucky basketball team. You get taken drugs and you get kicked off the ball team right quick. And yet, the Lord's church, which is to represent Jesus Christ, we ought to tolerate anything and everything. I'll tell you something tonight. When a person comes, and we taught in our Sunday school class this morning concerning a vow. If a man vow, he should pay it. Jephthah vowed a vow unto God and had to sacrifice his own daughter as a burnt offering because he knew what it meant to vow unto God. But when a person is baptized and they come into this church and they are submitting to scriptural baptism, do you realize they are vowing a vow unto God that I am dead to sin and I'm alive to God? They are declaring in their baptism that I have repented and turned from sin to turn to God to live my life for Jesus Christ. Do you realize that after you're baptized, become a member of the church, that's the way you ought to live? And this church ought to stand for that. And if we don't stand for that, then baptism is falling to the ground. Baptism doesn't mean anything. We had my grandson came this morning and said, I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. That's what he stated to me. All right, the church would receive him, that I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. He gets 10 years old and he gets rebellious and wants to get out and do this and do that. You know what this church ought to do? They ought to discipline my grandson. They ought to discipline. What I mean by that is not hate the person. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about nothing that defiles and ought to enter in into this church and be a part of it. It won't do in the New Jerusalem. I'll show you the Lamb's Bride. How many preachers, how many churches have settled down on the truth to where we ought to keep ourselves unspotted from this world? You're not of this world. And yet churches today brag about the fact that we've got 2,000 members and 500 that attend. That's nothing to brag about. That's saying I got a body with about 3/4 of its members missing. What kind of a body is it? We see somebody going down the street, his legs are cut off, his arms are cut off, he's in a pitiful shape, he's still alive, he's still moving, but he can't do much because he's half his members are missing. I believe that. I believe what Bobby preached this morning. I believe when you become a member of the Lord's church, it's the greatest privilege that you can have. It's the greatest responsibility that could be placed upon any individual. I believe it's a serious thing to become a member of the Lord's New Testament church. We are members of His flesh. We are members of His body. The Bible says, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bones. This is a great mystery, Paul said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, let's look on in verse 27. It says that these things won't enter in. Paul, time and time again, said, don't you know these people won't enter into the kingdom of God? These are fornicators, adulterers, and all these things that just drunkards and revilers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind. Now here's the ones going to enter in. but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know the only ones going to be there? You know the only ones going to have access to even enter into it? I'm not talking about the bride so much now. It's God's elect. The only ones that are going to even be in the presence of God are God's elect. Those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'll tell you what, if a person's name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, they'll never be saved. Say, that's getting awful hard. I didn't say they weren't responsible. I said they'd never be saved. And they won't get saved because they don't want to be saved. They love the things of this world. That's depravity. People don't understand it. Won't accept it. That men are so depraved that they are not willing to completely repent and surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. The only ones that will be there are those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. I want you to notice in chapter 22 now, in verse 14, you want to know the ones that are going to be there? Look at it. Let's let the Bible talk. Revelation 22 and verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What did it say? The Bible says if we be hearers of the word and not doers, we're deceiving ourselves. Matthew chapter 7 says the wise man is the man that hears the Word of God and does it. The foolish man is the man that hears the Word of God and builds on the sand, and he hears it and doesn't do it. Time and time again, Jesus Christ said, My brethren are those that hear the Word of God and do it, or they that do the will of God, they abide forever. When God comes into the heart of an individual in salvation and effectual calling, and that man is born again, I've taught this church, and I believe with all my heart, that which is born of God doth not commit sin, his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And greater is he that is in you than is of the world. And when the Lord comes in and the Holy Spirit comes in and gives you that new nature, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, you change directions. You just don't do the things that you once did before. You do them in the flesh, but you hate them. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. How many of us are willing to accept what the Bible says about that? So I believe people can live like the devil for 20 years. I know they're still saved. I know he's just saved. I know they're... Listen, my friend, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is of God. He that doeth not righteousness is not of God. That's what the Bible says. Be not deceived. Do we believe that the power of God has enough power to change an individual? Sure he did. I'll tell you, if he wasn't going to change you, he had never started on you to start with. He started on you for the very purpose of changing you, that you might be conformed to the image of his Son. This church ought to be being conformed to be more like Jesus Christ. Every one of us ought to be striving to be more like Jesus Christ, becoming more holy, separated from this world, that we might give him honor. All of us fail. I understand all that because we're still in this flesh. But that does not excuse us. And one day we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll give an account. But the only ones that are going to be not only in the bride, but they shall enter into this city are those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that book was written before the foundation of the world. People today are preaching on radio, on TV, that when you believe, God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That J. Vernon McGee, I heard him preach that on the television. He's a good teacher on some things, but he doesn't know a thing in the world about the doctrine of election and God's sovereign grace concerning this. I say to you that God wrote the names of his people down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And he did not look down and see who would believe and then chose them. What in the world would he want to choose somebody that's going to already believe? But he saw that nobody would believe and that all of his work would be for nothing, so he chose some that they would believe. And everyone that he chose will believe. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Listen, our God is not trying to do anything. Our God is fulfilling his purposes. Eternal purpose is known unto God, or all his works before the foundation of the world. And yet the people today are preaching a little old God that's trying to do this, knocking on the heart's door. That's not the God that this Bible teaches. If you serve a God like that, you don't have the right God. Now, these ladies sung, "Do you know my Jesus?" Well, I know about Ronald Reagan. I know some things. I don't know all about him, but I know Ronald Reagan in the sense I know about him. You know, I hear a lot of news about him. He's president of the United States. He got himself in a mess and all this business. I know a lot of things about him. I don't know Ronald Reagan. I don't have an intimate relationship with Ronald Reagan. What I mean by that is I don't know him personally. But you've got to know more than just knowing about Jesus Christ. You've got to know him. You've got to realize that when Jesus died, he died for you personally. And he is your heavenly Father. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. You've got to know him personally. Now, you know who ought to be members of the Lord's New Testament church and ought to enter in now? Those that are names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say, well, all of them don't know that. Well, Apostle Paul evidently thought the Thessalonians knew that. He preached to them in chapter 1. He says, knowing, brethren, your election of God. I had some people once tell me, said, you shouldn't preach that to the church. And they get all confused. I'll tell you what, God's children need to know. How in the world can they rejoice in that truth unless they are preached and told about it? They need to know about the sovereignty of God. Let me say another thing to the people, if you're here and lost, my friend. Your salvation depends upon God's mercy. It doesn't depend on you at all. Never has and never will. You say, well, I'll get saved when I live a long time and have my good time, then I'll get saved. Now, you're dabbling and with a God that's a great God, my friend. Salvation's never been any time that you feel like it anyway. It's in the hands of God. And when salvation is offered to you, you need to surrender and repent unto God and trust Him. Now let's look in chapter 22, here of this. Concerning, it was built like the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, bride. Let's look at it. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, how in the world is that anything like the Lord's church? Well, let's look at that for just a minute. First of all, I found out here that there was some water coming out from the throne. The Bible says it was pure water. It also says it was living water. It was the water of life. So we have pure water. It's living water. Where does it come from? It comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's what verse 1 says. It is clear as a crystal. It's not polluted. I want you to notice. It came from the throne, flowed out through the city. You believe it just stopped in the city? I don't believe so. I don't know all about this, but I'll tell you what. I believe that this water is going to flow out onto the earth. It flowed out, the Bible says. And anyway here, it flowed out from God, through the city, out into the earth. Now, what about the Lord's church? He's prepared as the city is prepared, as the land, as the bride adorned. All right? When we get into the New Testament teaching, you'll find out that the Lord mentions living water. In John chapter 4, when He was talking to the woman at the well. In verse 10, He said, in the latter part of that, when He was talking to the woman at the well here, going through Samaria, that I would have given thee living water. I would have given thee living water. All right? The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the living water. He's the fountains of living water. And He said, I would have given thee living water. Now look on down in verse 14. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. All right, so we have living water. The Lord talking about living water. Now I want you to turn John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and reading in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried and sang, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Where is it flowing from? It's flowing from Jesus Christ. Is that right? Let him come unto me. Let him drink. In the New Jerusalem, where is Jesus Christ? He's in the New Jerusalem. That's His throne, and it's still flowing from Him. Now let's look. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now there you have the living water flowing out from the hearts or bellies of people. Look in verse 39. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. Now that's the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. Did the Holy Spirit come upon all saved people? No, the Holy Spirit came upon His New Testament church to empower that church to witness for Jesus Christ. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, every person in the New Testament possessed the Holy Spirit. But here we find out the Holy Spirit was to come at the day of Pentecost to endue His kind of church with power to give them the power to witness. Now, when the Holy Spirit came at the day of Pentecost, what was it that came out of the people? The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and the people that were there at the Pentecost, at the day of Pentecost, and the Lord endued His church with power, the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 11, we have heard in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I'll tell you, that was living water. In other words, those people under the power of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, out of their bellies, out of their hearts, they began to tell people about Jesus Christ. This was living water. That's exactly what Jesus Christ said, I had to give you living water. I had to give you the Word, by the Word, regeneration, the Bible says. So, we find out here, who was this commission given to? It was given to the Lord's New Testament church. It wasn't given to individuals. It was given to His kind of a church. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. All right? Now we see the true picture. It's coming from the throne, came through the person of Jesus Christ. He gave that commission to the church, which is the New Jerusalem is a type of as being built. It flowed from the third church. It flowed from the throne, through the church, out onto the world. And that's the way it's going today. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be doing? Didn't God give the commission to the Lord's New Testament church? He sure did. They were the foundations. The apostles were all gathered together, and He said, Lo, I'm with you always. It couldn't have been just to the 11 apostles that day as they were assembled. If it had have been, the commission would have died with the apostles. But He was giving that commission to the Lord's kind of a church. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And the Holy Spirit came, as Acts chapter 1 says, you shall be endued with power, and then you'll become witnesses. What? Witnesses. When we witness, it's living water. Do you understand that? A church that witnesses and tells people how to be saved is letting the living water flow from God, from Jesus Christ, through us, out onto the world. Do we understand that? Ye shall be witnesses. Brother, the devil has stopped up our pipes. We ought to be letting the water flow. That's what the Holy Spirit came for, so that we shall be witnesses. You want to be in the bride? You want to be in the bride? You need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let the living water flow from Him into you, out of you, into the world. That's what the Bible is teaching us here. So this living water has been flowing from His church ever since. You say, I just don't believe. He's making things up out there. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And take of the water of life freely. Is that what He said? That's our message. The water of life. The same salvation that Jesus Christ offered the Samaritan woman is the same salvation that we offer the world. It's coming from the throne through Jesus into us and out of us. Because of the Holy Spirit given at Pentecost, He's still here, and it should go out of us, flowing out into the world. I don't believe a church is going to be in the bride unless we're missionaries. Unless we have on our hearts people so that we might go out and tell people how to be saved. Every member of this church needs to be a witness. It's not just the deacon, it's not just the pastor. The Bible says, ye shall be witnesses. The Holy Spirit did not come just to indwell the apostles as such. He came to indwell the church. And every member of this church can be a witness for Jesus Christ. And when you open your mouth, you think about this. When you open your mouth and tell people about Jesus, that's that living water. That's that living water. you have the same privilege that God gave Jesus Christ to tell others how to be saved. Another thing about this living water, it's clear as a crystal. This water was clear as a crystal. What is he talking about there? Did you know in Galatians chapter 1, the Lord tells us this, verse 6, I marvel that you so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. I'll tell you, that living water ought to be going forth clear. It ought not to be polluted with all the things that the world is polluting it with. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If an angel from heaven, in other words, the living water or the message that comes from this church ought to be never be polluted. It ought to be strictly Jesus Christ and him crucified. Ought never to add anything to it, nor should we ever take anything away from it. It ought to be clear as a crystal. And what we teach and preach to people ought to be never misunderstood, and not add baptism or works or anything to it. It's just simply how that Christ died for our sins. That's the only gospel that the church is supposed to preach. And if anybody preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, if you're in sympathy with what's going on TV, you just don't have much insight into the Word of God. If you're in sympathy with Tammy Sue and Jim Baker and Rex Humbart and Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart and all that, you don't understand what it's all about. They are preaching another gospel. What did the Bible say? Who's going to enter into that holy city if it isn't those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? And Jimmy Swaggart will say that's an abominable doctrine. He'll make fun of the doctrine of eternal security. He'll make fun of the doctrine of limited atonement, particular redemption, and all these things, effectual call. That all goes down the drain with him. I'll tell you, one of these days, the hidden thing's going to come to light. This church needs to preach a sovereign God. This church needs to preach the truth as it is. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away. And when it comes to church, this one, we need to do what God tells us to do and not back up because we're sympathetic and afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We need to be compassionate, but listen, we need to do what God told us to do. It's always wise to do what God told you to do. I learned that lesson a long time ago, and I failed to do it lots of times. But it's always wise to do what God told you to do. I've heard pastors tell me, says, well, if we did that, we'd split the church wide open. It may be. It might be the very best thing to ever happen to a church. A church needs to get to the place to where it's doing what God told it to do. I read Brother Cole's message, one of his messages the other day, sitting down reading, and he made some statements, said, why, a church is not willing to practice discipline. They think it's a terrible thing. They're not willing to teach the head covering. They're not willing to do this and do that. Said, people just fuss and argue. You know what the problem is? Satan is rebelling against all those teachings. Those are scriptural truths that need to be practiced in this church. They're very plainly taught in the Scriptures. Now, so this water of life, clear as a crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, coming from the throne of God, where is Jesus Christ? That's who grace and truth came from, so it's still proceeding from him. That's his throne. It's the throne of God and of the Lamb. Coming out through the city and flowing on outside. Now, the Bible says also in chapter 22 and verse 2 that it had the tree of life. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. Now, the first time we saw the tree of life, it was in the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that Adam was placed in there with all the other trees, but in that tree was the tree, in that garden was the tree of life. And the Bible is very plain on over in chapter 2 that Adam could have eaten of the tree of life and lived forever. I've said this before, and I believe I'm right in this, and I'll have to wait till we get there. But we are dependent upon our Lord for life now, and you will always be dependent upon the Lord for life. God is not making a bunch of little gods. You shall always be dependent upon Him for life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ says, I am the life. And if He doesn't give you life and continue to give you life, you won't have life. He not only has given us eternal life in Christ Jesus, but He will continue to give us life. How'd you like to live in a place where there's a tree that grows and you can pluck the fruit of it and it causes you to live forever? Everybody's trying to get that fountain of youth, aren't they? Where they can drink some water and live longer and all this and try to straighten up their life where they can live a long life. God says you're going to be in the midst of the garden here where the tree of life is there and you can live forever. You say, well, we don't have to have that to live. I don't know about that. The Bible says it's the tree of life. Didn't God tell Adam when he sinned, says, lest he take of the tree of life and live forever? You say, we're going to eat when we get to glory and get into heaven? Well, sure you're going to eat. Jesus Christ in His glorified body said, give me some fish. I need something to eat. You're going to eat. You say, will there be fish in this river? Ezekiel seems to think so. Well, Brother Dunn, if that be true, you fish right on through eternity if you want to. I don't know. But I believe we're going to eat. The Lord ate fish, didn't He? So I just don't believe we'll have to have anything to eat. Well, Christ ascended in the body He was raised with, and He ate. No, we don't have to, but these things are only figures and types down here. And they'll be perfect when we get in His presence. Now listen to it. So let's look at this. It says, the tree of life, and it was bearing fruit. Is that what it says? It bare fruit. It bare 12 manner of fruit. It bare fruit consistently every month. It wasn't dependent on summer, winter, and all this. It bare consistently all the time. Just kept on bearing. What about the leaves? The Bible says the leaves of that. Now, the outward appearance here has its effect on those round about it. It was for the healing of the nation. Now, how does that fit the church? Isn't it the work of the church to bring forth fruit unto God? Isn't that what the Bible says? That I've ordained you that you should bring forth fruit unto God? The message that she proclaims is the only thing that can produce life, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Did you get that? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Did you know that as you bear fruit for God, love, joy, peace, and all those things, and try to live your life holy for the Lord, that you become a tree of life? That others can see that fruit and see and hear your message and be saved by the preaching of the gospel? You become a tree of life and they eat of your fruit. I partake of your fruit and hear the gospel message and they live because of it? No, we don't look at it that way. But that's what the Bible teaches us. So we have that living water. The gospel of Jesus Christ together with that living water and the the fruit of the Holy Spirit produces life. So we should be a witness continually. Now, what about the leaves for the healing of the nation? Well, there's a mystery in that, but applying it to the church, doesn't it influence the outward conduct of God's children? Don't that influence the nations round about us? The people that made our Constitution, In God We Trust, One Nation Under God, my friend, they didn't get saved, but I'll tell you what, the fruit that they bear had a serious effect upon the United States of America. It influenced, didn't it? For the healing of the nation. This nation became a nation that trusted in the Lord because of the influence of people evidently that were godly and wanted God to be put into their constitution. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the Bible says ye are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Well, it preserves, doesn't it? Salt preserves. Therefore, when we witness for Jesus Christ, we will produce fruit. And the influence of those that produce fruit will influence those round about us. Same way in the church. Now look in verse 3. How does it apply to the Lord's church? There shall be no more curse. There shall be no more curse. Well, the holy city has no curse in it at all. When Adam and Eve sinned, this whole earth became under the curse of God. They're cursed. Man, woman was cursed. The earth was cursed. And men are under the curse until they're saved. But you know, when a person is saved by the grace of God, doesn't Galatians say that you're not under the curse anymore? That He was made a curse for us? And every person that is trying to trust in their works for salvation is under the curse. But through the redemption of Jesus Christ, He removed us from the curse. So the New Jerusalem, there's no curse there. And in the Lord's New Testament church, His people are not under the curse. We have been made free. Don't you see the similarity of that? So His bride, His people today that are saved are not under the curse. Been redeemed from the curse. False religions today that are trying to keep God's laws under the curse. I'm amazed. Really, I'm amazed how many people can be taken in by the influence of the television ministry of these high-powered evangelism and all this. I really enjoy watching that. Did you see in the paper today where Tammy Sue's off for a year because she's got hooked on drugs? I don't know where it's accidental or not. They tried to accidentally lower. They did on Liberace, too. Said he didn't have AIDS and all that, but they proved that he did. People won't tell you the truth anymore. But I'll tell you what, today, people that are lost, you say she's lost. I don't know. That's God's business. But I know one thing. If she's saved, she'll give all the glory of God, and she ought not to preach. She ought to keep silent as God said. All those things, but listen. Holy Spirit don't lead you to do those kind of things. The Lamb's wife, His bride, has been made free. The water of life has flowed into her heart, and she has eaten of the tree of life. Her witness flows out to others. Whosoever will, let her come. Now let's look on in verse 3. And the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. In the New Jerusalem is where God will set up His throne. He will rule from the holy city. Now, how does that apply to the church? Jesus Christ is the head of His church. He has set up His throne in His New Testament church. That's where He rules today. He's the head of His church. I'll tell you what, the Lord's New Testament church is the place where Jesus Christ is in our midst. That's what it says. He rules and reigns as head of His church. Doesn't it say that the husband ought to be the head of the wife? He ought to rule his family? By that I mean He ought to instruct and guide and direct His family. Isn't that what Jesus Christ is doing to His church? Sure it is. He is the one that the bride submits to and permits to rule over her. We'll never be in a bride until we're willing to submit to Him as our Lord and let Him rule over us and reign over us. If you want to be in the bride, let the Lord reign over your life. You see, a woman that marries a man and just does what she wants to do, she's out of the will of God. Here's a woman that says, well, I'm my husband. I'm not going to let him rule over me. I'm not going to listen to anything he says. I'll do as I please. Would you like to see a church do that to Jesus Christ? What do you think the Lord would think about a church that says, well, I'm going to do as I please. I don't care what you say about it. I'm going to do as I please. And that's exactly what's happening to a lot of churches today. So we find out that His throne is in heaven, and in this church, Christ ought to be our head. I am not your head. I'm not a pope. My business is to instruct you what Christ would have you to do. I am not to force you to do anything. If you cannot love Jesus Christ enough to do for Him what He tells you to do because of what He's done for you, we're in bad trouble. It's not my business to force anything on His people, but it is my business to tell you what He wants you to do. And then you are responsible to obey Him and to do what He says. Now, look here, in the New Jerusalem, what are we going to be doing all the time? His servants shall serve Him. What about in the Lord's New Testament church? Well, we should be a servant, shouldn't we? Free from sin, become servants to God. What should we be doing in the Lord's New Testament church if we aren't servants to God? What is the Lord's New Testament church if it isn't a servant to God? What is a woman to the man if she isn't a helpmeet? That's what she was created for. Woman was created for the man. What was the church made for? I said the other day that God doesn't exist for us. We exist for God. God created us for a reason, for a purpose. Therefore, His servants shall serve Him. Are you serving the Lord? I'll tell you what, you won't be in the bride unless you want to serve Him. Here's the Tommy truth down here. Would you marry a woman that wouldn't do anything you want her to do? She said, Tommy says, well, you going to work with me and all? And no, I'm not going to work with you. You can do as you please, and I'll do as I please. You going to take a wife like that? Man, you got trouble if you do. And I don't believe the Lord is going to take a bride to Himself that does as she pleases. I think she needs to surrender and submit herself unto Jesus Christ as her head and obey Him and do what He would have her to do. His servants shall serve Him. So if you took a good look on the inside of the holy city, you would see His servants all serving Him. So the church is to do the same thing. Bring forth fruit unto God. Now in chapter 22 and verse 4, listen to this. And they shall see His face. And they shall see His face. The Lamb and the Bride come face to face now. Just like Isaac and Rebekah did when she saw Him away off, far off. They come face to face. The Bible says, and His name shall be in their forehead. His name shall be in their forehead. What does that mean here? She is going to take His name. That's what you do when you get married, isn't it? Just take the name of the husband. I mean, my wife, I didn't take her name, she took mine. His name shall be in their forehead. The church has lived by faith. They have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord by faith. They have lived in this life, loved Him, waiting to be with Him. They've kept themselves unspotted from this world. They love Him. They keep themselves pure, being conformed to Him, serving Him. And now they shall see His face. How many of us really understand that one day we're going to have to face the Lord face to face? I'm going to have to face the Lord face to face with my life. I'm going to have to face the Lord with what I have taught to this church. A lot of things would be much easier if I just let them go. So I just don't believe in church discipline. If the Bible teaches it, it's my responsibility to teach it to you. It's your responsibility to do it in that manner. So don't you see? Say, well, you'd keep a lot of peace if you didn't do that, you know. Look at your churches that haven't done it and see how much peace they have. And look at the churches that do it in the right manner, and God has blessed that kind of a church. We've seen people that have been disciplined in this church that have been saved by the grace of God. I thank God for those. Let me say again, discipline is not just to put people away. Discipline is to train people that claim to be saved. If they don't claim to be saved, they shouldn't be a member of the church anyway. But if they say they're saved, it's a training. It's a discipline, to where it will teach them that they need to live their lives for Jesus Christ. That's what discipline is all about. That's why it should be done. It should never be done. Any church or any pastor that gets in a frenzy and begins to discipline just to get rid of people, he is in the wrong. He's worse off than the people are. All things need to be done by love, compassion toward people, and try to help people. So, she is now with him. She is married to him. That's the reason you see the church and the Lamb together now. She's been married, and all, He is King of Kings. And the Bible says in verse 5, there shall be no night there, and they have no need of a lamp or candle, and neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth him light. And that's exactly the way we've been living in the Lord's church, isn't it? The Lord giveth us life, and they shall reign forever and ever. They shall reign forever and ever. How long? Forever and forever. She was willing to suffer with him and to live for him and to serve him. As Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "Now if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. They shall reign with him forever and ever." So his name is in her forehead. Today the bride is espoused to Jesus Christ, but one day the marriage of the Lamb will come, as Revelation 19 says, and his wife hath made herself ready. I ask you that question again. Are you looking for the time that you'll be married again? Well, that's a spiritual question. You need to realize that this is the marriage of the Lamb. Are you looking forward to being married again? I believe the Lord's church ought to be. And if we're looking forward to be married again and the Lamb is holy, glorious, then if you want to be in the bride, I believe you ought to be preparing yourself for Him, purifying yourself for Him. One day, you'll become one flesh. You'll be married to Him. There'll never be another separation. There'll never be a divorce. It'll shall be eternal. Chapter 22 and verse 6, He said unto me, "These things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done." Shortly be done. These things are shortly be done. They're going to come to pass with speed. The Bible says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Then it goes on and tells us, verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, he's going to be filthy still." Don't you see? This is the day to be sanctified. This is the day to become holy. This is the day to follow the Lord. This is the day to be a servant of God. If you want to be unjust, you'll be unjust through all eternity. If you want to be filthy, you'll be filthy through all eternity. If you want to be partakers of this world and live ungodly in the pleasures, that's where you're going. You're going to be outside the place where God is. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, if you're not preparing yourself down here, you won't be with that one up there. Is people foolish just to live their lives for Jesus Christ? Well, we'll see who's foolish when the Lord comes one day and we have to stand before Him. Those of us that have tried to live our life for Jesus Christ, live holy, godly in this present world, one of these days we'll say, "By the Lord, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Those that have not and have let the devil deceive you into just partaking of the world and living like the world and want the pleasure of this life, if you're a friend of this world, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. When God saves us, the Bible says you're not of this world, even as I'm not of the world. Verse 12, "Behold, I come quickly." Behold, I come quickly. You looking for Him tonight? "I come quickly. And my reward is with me." My reward is with me. You know God's going to reward His people for faithful service. "My reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be." Are you doing anything for the Lord? Are you serving Him? Rewards will be given out according to your own work that you've done. And as God's people work together for the glory of God, I think one sows another, God says, we'll all enter into the harvest. So, it says, "They that do His commandments, they have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city, but without are dogs." Now, that's not talking about dachshunds and poodles and all that. That's not what it's talking about. That's talking about people that are ungodly, people that are unrighteous. God calls them dogs here in that sense. And sorcerers, drugs, that word sorcerer there has, again, coming from the root of pharmacy, which has to do with drugs. You know that people that use drugs, my friend, a child of God can get involved in it, I suppose. But if that's what you like and that's what you want, the Bible says you'll never enter into this city. Whoremongers, listen to me. You young people, and whoever it might apply to, if you like to go out and commit fornication or adultery, you just remember this, you'll never stand in God's presence. God will cast you into hell. And except you repent, you're going to perish. And the Lord said, "I come quickly," and He could come tonight. As far as you're concerned, God may be all over with for you. You think about that. Pleasures of sin for a little season, and spend an eternity in your body in the fires of hell. Seems like to me you're making an awful bad choice when you make that kind of choice. Because God's going to do that. Without are whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I'll tell you, children today can tell a lie. They lie as if it was nothing. It was nothing. I don't have to tell you about other children. People lie. God says in Revelation there that no liar shall have their part in the presence of God. They're not going to enter into God's presence. Liars. A liar is the very opposite of God, who is truth. A liar. If you love and make a lie, you're a whoremonger, a idolater, sorcerer, you need to repent tonight. The Bible says, Jesus have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Now listen, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Spirit and the bride, they work together, don't they? That's the Lord's church, the Spirit and the bride. He works in and through the church. Let him that heareth say, come. Meaning that there are people that are not members of the church that are saved. They're in the kingdom of God. They're in the family of God. They've heard. They're not in the church. But if they know Jesus Christ, let them say, come. And let him that is athirst come. If God has put in your heart a thirst for the things of God, if any man learneth that thirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The word, the message of Jesus Christ, the living water that's able to save your soul, let him take of it freely. And listen to what it says. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy, of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city the things which are written in this book. He said, testify these things, surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. Well, that's the bride. I'm not going to try to rehash the whole thing all over again. Well, I just didn't understand all that. Well, it's on tape. I believe it's a lot of glorious things in there that we need to see in the church. This church is not a word of the institution. This church ought to be separated from the word. We ought to be the light of the world. We ought to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. We all be telling you.